the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, The Sneeze of Shlomola, was written by Alan Marcus. Featured as Shlomola is Yaroslav Douglas, and Alexander Scorby is the narrator. Who can tell where sunlight becomes shadow? Who can describe where a cloud touches the moon? Who knows the exact spot at which innocence turns into compassion? Who has marked the moment a child discards his guilelessness? These are questions it is necessary to ask, and there are many answers. But some people forget even to remember the questions anymore. And this story is especially for them. Long ago, near a green valley, there was a tiny village that grew between two forests. And for all anyone knows, it is growing still. But this story is not about the village. It's about a little boy named Shlomele. And it tells of the various times that Shlomele sneezed. Did you hear it? That was the first time. But let me tell you first a little about Shlomele. You see, he wasn't a sickly child. On the contrary, he had brown eyes and red cheeks and could run faster than any possum. In the forest where Shlomele played most of the time, he could hardly tell him apart from his friends, like Aleph the rabbit, Gimel the woodchuck, Dalid the fox, Solomon the owl, and all the rest throughout the whole forest. But there were two strange things about Shlomele, and this was the first. Although he was only a small boy, he could speak several languages, like the fox language and the tongue of the owl and the dialect of the woodchuck. It was no trouble at all for him to talk to them. But in fact, these were the only kinds of languages he knew how to speak. For you see, although Shlomele was bright enough and could tell without even thinking how many strands of twig it took to build a robin's nest, for some reason, he had never learned to speak in the words of men. And naturally, this left his mother Tamar a little disappointed. And almost every night she'd say,
Shlomele, it's time to go to bed now. You've stayed up late enough. Say goodnight to your father. Shlomele, are you listening to me? I ask you to say goodnight now.
Tamar, don't tease the boy. You know he can't speak.
Not him I'm teasing, Isaac. It's Tamar. Every day I tell myself, tomorrow will be the day for him to speak, or the day after tomorrow, or if not, then surely next week. Yeah, it's always next week or the week after for 11 years. Yet still I tease myself. Isaac, your wife is a foolish old woman.
Foolish old woman? Where? I don't see any foolish old women around here.
Isaac. Perhaps I should learn to stop my teasing. After all, who is richer than we? What other woman has a son with this special kind of talent? You could even call it a kind of genius, couldn't you, Isaac?
Absolutely. Remember when Libby Meyer's cow was sick? Who talked to it and persuaded it to start eating again? And what about Ezekiel's goat? Who found it when it ran away from home? I tell you, our Shlomele is blessed. Even if...
Even if he can't speak to us. Is that what you were going to say?
Ah, well, tomorrow's another day, Tama, and after that there will be another. And one of these days, you'll see, you'll speak as well as you or I.
I know, you have a feeling. Well, so have I, Isaac, and right now my feeling is that it's way past a certain young man's bedtime. Come, Shlomo, it's time to go to sleep. You want to stay up all night, sleepyhead?
There are many worlds, and sometimes it is possible to inhabit more than one at the same time. Have you ever tried it? The sky is a world, and the sea is another. But for Schlomiller, there were two others. There was, first of all, the comfortable world enclosed by the log walls of his parents' cottage, with its patience and warmth, where on rainy days he could sit before a fire and hear the rain. This was his number one world, and it was very fine indeed. But there was also another world, even more private and special. And for Schlomiller, this second world was something beyond description. It was light and dark, wide and narrow, level and steep, mysterious and friendly. And the name of this second world was the Forest. Have you ever walked in a forest? Every day, Schlomiller would get up early, eat his breakfast, do his chores, listen while his father said morning prayers, and then off like an eagle he'd run, past the tool shed, around the meadow, out through the clover field, and deep into the heart of his private world number two. And the forest would welcome Schlomiller. Its secret places unlocked themselves for him. The bees would bring honey from their hives. Hickory nuts would fall at his feet. Even the wind would remember to lift the leaves of the oak trees and push aside the brambles of the wild rose bushes. And all of his friends, like Aleph the rabbit.
Hi, Schlomiller.
Gimel the woodchuck.
Greetings, Schlomiller, old pal.
Dolid the fox.
Hello there, Schlomiller.
And Solomon the owl.
Howdy-doo, Schlomiller, my boy.
Would follow him to the little clearing by the matob tree, which was the very center of his second world. But this brings me to the second strange thing about Schlomiller, for it was just around this time that the sneeze occurred. They still talk about it in the forest, and as I recall, it came about in the following way. Gimel the woodchuck had called a meeting to order in the clearing by the matob tree.
Quiet. Quiet, everybody. Solomon wants to say something. Go ahead, Solomon.
Well, what I wanted to say was, I think it's about time we did something about the sorrow of Yaakov, the scarecrow. It's not really fair.
What's not fair, Solomon?
Quiet. Let him finish, Aleph. Go ahead, Solomon.
I mean, it's not fair that Yaakov is no longer a scary scarecrow. I ask you, what's more sad than a scarecrow who no longer scares? Yesterday, I flew over Yaakov, and he didn't even have the heart to look at me.
But what can we do, Solomon? How can we help it if Yaakov has become unscary?
Dolid, let Solomon finish. Go on, Solomon.
I don't know what we can do, but we should think about it. After all, Yaakov has been good to everyone here. Look at all the times he let us have a snack of corn from his field.
True, he always let us know when Farmer Joseph was away.
And he did always warn us when Joseph was coming back.
But what can we do? Are there any suggestions? Shlomila, what do you think?
Friends, I think what Yaakov the Scarecrow needs is a new hat. A hat gives a scarecrow character. If we could get him a new hat, it would give him new confidence. Then he might have the courage to become scary again.
A new hat. Wonderful.
Everyone knows a scarecrow. He's only as scary as his hat.
But wait a minute. Before we go patting ourselves on the back, where are we going to get a new hat?
Gimma.
You have another idea, Shlomila?
No, but Gimmer, I have a new hat.
And so it happened that Shlomo's new hat came to rest on the demoralized head of Yaakov the Scarecrow. And behold, he, Yaakov, was demoralized no longer. His face scowled. His hands scolded. He was his old, scary self again. And that night, back in his world number one, Shlomila wrote down for his father to read.
I have given my new hat away to someone who needs it more than I do. Tell Mama not to be angry, please. I don't need a new hat anyway.
Tama, you see what Shlomila wrote?
I saw.
And?
Shlomila, come here.
What are you going to do, Tama?
I told you we were rich, Isaac. Look how tall Shlomila's getting. He's almost up to my shoulder.
But, Tama, the hat, the new hat.
Oh, please, Isaac, tomorrow we will talk about the hat. There are certain times when it is absolutely necessary to give one's hat away. Ask Shlomila. Let us discuss the hat tomorrow.
And then Shlomila wandered out of the house into a field drowned with stars. And there he stood between his two one. 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 There he stood between his two wonderful worlds. And the night was full of melody. And something in Shlomila started to sing. There was a contentment in him, which started deep down in the crevices of his toes, traveled up to his knees, passed swiftly through his lungs, and then got so big and so irresistible. It had to come out somewhere. And it bubbled through to his nose, and the first thing you knew... In the forest, they thought it was a typhoon. And in the cottage, they thought it was a lion. But later, they came to recognize it as the first sneeze of Shlomila. Now, actually, the scientific explanation was simple. What happened scientifically was that joy acted as a chemical catalyst, activating the follicles in the nasal passages until enough vibration had been registered to produce a convulsive precipitation. In other words, Shlomila sneezed. In the days that followed, however, Shlomila sneezed only rarely. It was a little mysterious. There had to be just the right amount of contentment and peace, and no one could tell exactly when it would happen. One time, for example, Shlomila was in the clearing by the Matov tree discussing some problems of life with three of his friends, Aleph the rabbit, Gimel the woodchuck, and Solomon the owl.
I tell you, Shlomila, I'm a little afraid. I don't like it at all.
Like what, Aleph?
I don't like what's going to happen to you when you grow up. First thing you know, you'll be spending most of your time indoors hiding from the sun and collecting those oblong paper leaves like other men.
Oh, those aren't leaves, Aleph. That's money you're talking about.
Money? What's that? What kind of a tree does it grow on?
Anybody knows that money doesn't grow on trees, empty head. It's dug up from the ground.
No, you're both wrong, Solomon. Money is just, just something men make for themselves, that's all.
Is it something to eat?
Well, not exactly.
Can you wear it?
Well, no. You can't wear money exactly itself.
Then what good is it? I don't like it. I'd rather have a pineapple to eat.
I'd rather have a bunch of maple leaves to sleep on.
Well, you see, money is something men collect and then give to other men for things they need. Like food, and so on.
Tell me, Shlomila, this making of money, does it take much of a man's time?
Well, my Uncle Aaron spends all day at it, sometimes nights. Sometimes we don't see him for a month.
And does he exchange it for things? I mean, how much sleep does he get for it?
Well, to tell the truth, Solomon, my Uncle Aaron doesn't sleep very well.
Was he able to get a nice family with it? I think a family is the best thing anyone can have, including woodchucks.
Well, Uncle Aaron never notices things like families because he's so busy. And besides, no one ever wanted to live with my Uncle Aaron ever since I can remember.
If I had a lot of something to exchange for anything I wanted, I bet I'd give a big party and invite all my friends. And I bet I'd fill up this whole clearing with friends of mine.
But if you were busy collecting money like Uncle Aaron, Olive, you wouldn't have anybody here. Because you'd never have time to know hardly anybody. So how could you fill up the whole clearing with friends?
Shlomala, from what you say, I can't see anything so wonderful in this money-making business. Frankly, I wouldn't care for it. I wouldn't care for it at all.
Neither would I.
Me neither.
And Shlomala, let me tell you something. If you get tired of it any time, you can always come to my tree and eat all the persimmons you want. And there are plenty of things you can have all around here, and you won't need money at all.
That's right, Shlomala. Ditto for me.
Me too, Shlomala.
What's the matter, Shlomala? Did we say something wrong? Don't you feel well?
It's going to happen again. Better grab hold of something.
Duck, everybody. Here it comes. Duck!
Everybody all right? Olive?
Okay.
Gimel?
All secure.
Shlomala? Shlomala!
Here I am, Solomon. Up here. I sneaked so hard, I sneaked myself up in your tree. Here, help me get down.
A year is not too long, but a small boy can grow astonishingly. And Shlomala's toes stretched and his head reached up, and there was an even greater quickness in him. And the moons thinned, and the moons grew fat. The persimmon tree closed its eyes. The forest undressed and went to sleep with frost in its hair. And then everyone yawned, and before you knew it, spring was there again in the clearing by the Matov tree. And that was when Shlomala decided to investigate a certain matter.
Olive, I've decided to find out something. Will you and Solomon come with me?
Come where, Shlomala?
I want to find out about the synagogue. Every seventh day, my father and mother go to the village to the synagogue. Every seventh morning, all through the year. And here I am a year older, and still they say, "No, Shlomala. Stay home, Shlomala." Solomon, have you ever seen the synagogue?
Why, I've flown over it, I guess.
And you, Olive?
Well, perhaps I've seen it a few times.
You see, everyone but me. Even Belvo the donkey sees it. He told me. Haven't I a right? Isn't it supposed to be for everyone?
He's right, Olive. The synagogue is for everyone.
Listen, Shlomala, if we go with you, please, not a sound. I don't want your father to come after me with a rod.
Oh, I'll be careful. I'll be careful as a caterpillar.
It's pretty risky.
Please, Solomon.
Well, all right, Shlomala. But remember, not a sound.
Stay home, Shlomala. It's better if you don't come, Shlomala. They thought that not to be able to say the prayers would be too much of an embarrassment. But how was a small boy to know? And who was to tell him? So down across the meadow, through the street of the Orioles, across the square of the elders, and up to the window of the synagogue.
Like something in a dream.
Don't be silly. Even a rabbit knows it's only the Sabbath service. See, there's your father in the fourth row. And see, there's your mother.
I am going inside.
No, you can't. You mustn't, Shlomala.
I told you we shouldn't have come. Now we'll all be cooked.
I have to. I just have to, Olive.
No, wait. Listen, Shlomala. Come back.
It was miraculous. It was unbelievable. But it happened. He, Schlomiller actually sitting in the back during Sabbath service. And not only that, but a few seats away sat his father. Only he didn't look like Schlomiller's father. All the men in the synagogue had the same brooding look of love, and it filled the interior and illuminated the faces. And then suddenly, as the cantor said, "He who makes peace in the high places, may he make peace for us," suddenly...
Blown out.
Who is that back there? Stand up. Stand up. Where's this outrageous sneezing coming from?
Look. Look. There he goes. He's only a child.
Stop him, somebody. He's heading for the door. Stop him.
But Schlomiller had already vanished, and in the midst of the tumult, Isaac, his father, rose.
Rabbi Nachman, I'm extremely humiliated. I apologize for the interruption. I should like to beg the congregation's pardon.
But why, Isaac? Why should you apologize?
Rabbi, the boy who just ran from the synagogue was our son, Schlomiller, whom we have expressly forbidden ever to come here. You see, Rabbi, Schlomiller is not like the sons of other men. This sneezing of his happens when other men are full of a proper kind of joy. And not only that, the poor boy has never even been able to talk a civilized tongue. All he knows is the gibberish of forest animals. Of course, I'm not complaining. It is my proper burden. He's my son. But I must apologize again for the interruption of the service. I will see that certainly doesn't happen again.
He sat down. The congregation was full of murmuring.
Shall we proceed with the service, Reb Nachman?
No, Jacob. Stop.
But Reb Nachman, we were just...
Listen to me, Jacob. Fellow worshippers, listen to me. A text has been given to us, and we cannot refuse it. It is written... Let my cry come near thee, O my Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. But tell me, where is understanding here in this congregation? What do prayers mean that are repeated week after week with one eye on the prayer book and one eye on the door? You, David, whose oxen died last week from overwork. And you, Joachim, whose poor cousin was turned away from your door. And you, Isaac, whose son was frightened from the synagogue. And all the rest of you, where is the great piety your prayers profess? I, Rabbi Nachman, tell you that the sneezing of one small child contains more piety than all your accumulated praying. Consider the text. Let my cry come near thee, O my Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word.
Why are you leaving the pulpit, Reb Nachman? Right. The service is not quite over. What about the supplementary prayers?
These supplementary prayers are declared suspended. We must go and bring that child back into the synagogue.
It was the strangest procession the village had ever seen. The whole congregation followed Reb Nachman through the square of the elders, across the street of the Orioles, down by the meadow, and up behind the bush near the Matov tree. But when they got there, they could hardly believe their eyes or their ears.
Isaac, look, it's Schlomiller with the animals lined up like a sort of congregation.
And Tamar. Do you hear his language? I can understand what he's saying. I can understand it.
Shh. Wait. Listen.
Aleph and Gimel and you too, Dalet, and all the rest of you, even though you can't understand what I'm saying anymore. But I'll try to explain it anyway. I guess you were right. I never should have gone to the synagogue. I thought it was a place where you could talk to God. Anyone could. And no one would mind if you had to sneeze. Because who made sneezing in the first place? But that was all wrong. You saw how they got angry, chased me out. That was when I got this terrible pain inside. And the next thing I knew, I was talking the language of my father's world. It was sort of like waking up from a dream that you never really had at all. But that sounds crazy. I don't understand it at all. But I know one thing for sure. I sure wish I could get my dream back.
And behold, the words of Shlomele grew loud and entered deep into the hearts of the congregation. And Rabbi Nachman went up to him and took him by the hand and embraced him, saying,
Come, Shlomele. What's happened is only the miracle of manhood. And we're all the same now, you and I and Isaac and all the rest. And you'll discover one day that everyone tries to get back a dream, Shlomele. As many dreams as there are names to count. Now come, we'll go back to the synagogue together.
And behold, the procession turned and marched away. And the path of the forest changed slowly back again into a village street. But who can tell where sunlight becomes shadow? Who knows when innocence turns into compassion? Who has marked with accuracy the place where two worlds touch? If Shlomele had become part of a congregation of men, there was a portion of the congregation itself that had renewed acquaintanceship with God. And in the synagogue there was joy, and a psalm of thanksgiving was sung. And these were its words. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is he in whose spirit there is no guile.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Sneeze of Shlomele, was written by Alan Marcus. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Cadens. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Shlomele was Yaroslav Douglas, and Alexander Scorby was the narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.